time to talk technical analysis. This is the segment we call Technical Difficulties here on Money Life. But to be perfectly honest, there's no difficulties when you're hearing my guest, Buck Clintworth, talk about the market's technicals. Buck is Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Chase Investment Counsel, where he works on the Chase Growth and Chase Midcap Growth funds. But the firm is about to merge the two funds. In January, Chase Midcap Growth will just become part of Chase Growth. So if you want more information, you're going to go to chaseinv.com to learn about Chase Growth, which is ticker symbol CHASX. Buck Clintworth, welcome back to Money Life.
Thanks for having me back.
So we've gotten to a spot where, you know, hey, we kind of think we're going to get a Santa Claus rally because most years we do. We can have some January effect. Those are things that, well, the market doesn't give us a big honking sign necessarily that things are going to happen. But what the market has been saying is, you know, the technicals aren't pointing to too much that could disappoint us between now and the early parts of next year. Is that about right? I mean, you may not be expecting a rally, but are you at least thinking we can avoid trouble on the short term?
That's right. We're ending 2019 in much better shape technically than we ended 2018. If you recall, in 2018, we had a market sell-off in October and December, and that was helped only somewhat by a rally that started the day after Christmas. You know, there's a rush into defensive stocks as some people started to panic. You've had some down months in 2019, but nothing that's raised any alarm bells like you had a year ago. You know, back in July, we talked, and I gave you a number to keep an eye on, and that number was 3,000. The S&P was close to it, but it was more a psychological threshold than a purely technical one. Well, the index is 4 to 5% above that. For a while, we had market volatility, but if you look back to August, you had days that seesawed back and forth and made investors nervous. Since then, it's been remarkably quiet despite the latest political or economic headlines. I think that people have gotten used to the market going up. So when the S&P broke 3,000, there were no parties thrown for it. Everyone just sort of shrugged their shoulders, went about business as usual, and stocks just continued chugging along.
Is that a reasonable expectation for a month, 2 months, 3 months? Or as we get into an election year where there's going to be a lot of headlines, where there's still all the uncertainty over who the Democrats are going to run, when you've got a president who says on the one hand he'd be happy to let the trade war continue for a while, but from an election standpoint needs for the trade dispute to not go too long. We'd like to think that election years are good, but the truth is they're not always terrible, but three of the last couple have been. I mean, 2000 was a bad year. 2004 was a pretty mediocre year, and 2008 was a wreck. So it's not that a bad year is not possible just because we got an election.
That's right. You know, things are good right now, but does that mean I think we're going to see a furious rally to close out the year? No. You know, if you look short term, it looks like we're going to take a little bit of a breather. Looking at some short term things, over the last couple weeks, we've had a number of distribution days. For those unfamiliar with the term, a distribution day occurs when an index falls 0.2% or more on volume that's higher than the previous trading day. You saw this happen in the NASDAQ at the beginning of 2018. October 2018, and that was a precursor to the sell-off that we saw. The number of distribution days that we're having now is starting to pick up, but it hasn't reached an unreasonably high number. But that's something to keep an eye on. The constant drip, drip, drip of the market going down can sometimes be more corrosive than one big down day. You know, in addition, Lowry's has a way of analyzing supply and demand. They call them buying power and selling pressure. Currently, buying power is at a short-term downtrend. Selling pressure is in a short-term uptrend. In addition, other short-term indicators are above oversold levels, so near-term caution is warranted. You know, the good news is, if you look at the intermediate trend, buying power is in an uptrend, selling pressure is in a downtrend. That's good.
So when you're trying to set expectations, if we continue going to this for a while, where do we wind up setting support and resistance? And if we see that we can't break through resistance, how far back do we fall?
Well, right now, the support level is at that what used to be a psychological barrier, 3,000 for the S&P. So you could see a market sell-off of 4 or 5%. You know, what the market has going for it right now is, you know, there were times in the past few years where you could make the case it was only the mega-cap names that were leading the market. And if you took them out, the market didn't actually look that strong. You know, that's what usually happens at market tops when the largest names tend to mask what's going on. But what you have now is large cap and growth stocks have held on to their leadership positions, but participation has broadened out into cyclical sectors along with value and smaller cap stocks. You know, that's a bull market showing few of the signs of weakness that typically occur prior to the final market tops. You know, people have gotten out of safe havens, put their money into risk assets. That's helped drive most averages to record highs. You know, the recent market high has been supported by expanding breadth and demand along with contracting supply, all characteristics of a bull market. You know, it looks like we're setting up for a market rally to continue in the first half of 2020. You know, what I do think will happen, though, is once you get to the typically weak summer months and the 2020 presidential race is going full throttle, you know, you're going to have to reexamine where the market stands at that time.
But quickly, in the time we've got left, are there areas of the market or anything else that you think is particularly important? Or are you also thinking maybe, given the long nature of the bull market, you need to be looking internationally for a little bit more return, et cetera? Or is this going to be a time where, yeah, it's still the focus domestically because, well, hey, that's but what's been carrying the day?
Yeah, I don't think you need to look internationally necessarily. You can get a lot of international exposure just with U.S. companies that deal a lot overseas. A lot of the bigger companies, you know, the majority of their revenues come from overseas. So if you want foreign exposure without taking on the political risk of foreign countries, you can go ahead and get into those. You know, I think one area to keep an eye on, healthcare, which had been doing great and then did poorly in the market sell-off in the fourth quarter of last year, you know, has started perking up again. And so I think if healthcare continues to do well, that could be good for the economy as a whole.
Buck, great stuff. Thanks as always for joining us. Happy holidays. I look forward to chatting with you again in 2020.
All right. Thank you.
That's Buck Clintworth, everybody. He is Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Chase Investment Counsel. ChaseInv.com is the website to learn more about the firm or the Chase Growth Fund. Because, well, as of a couple of weeks from now, Chase Growth Fund will be the fund that they run. It's CHASX.